With us today, we got Joe, Trigger Joe Britson.
All right, let's go.
Boom!
To try to get a matchup with Ngannou. Oh! Out goes the roof! Francis Ngannou!
This is just a fist. When I start throwing it around, I can leave one hell of a mess. Let's dance.
Multiple occasions. Wow, it looks like they're going to swing to the very end.
And he wasn't kidding.
Wow!
It's very rare.
What a finish!
Another one.
Really poses the question, what do you want to do? Do you want to take a chance and risk getting knocked out?
Oh, my God!
Trying
to take care of business, trying to get control.
It's a knockout!
Oh, my God!
It's a knockout!
And it's closing in! Trying to finish it! And it's over!
Because I'm going to take this foot, and I'm going to whop you on that side of your face. There's not a goddamn thing you can do about it.
Buck is brought to you by Modelo.
I killed it!
And, oh, we have a new nickname. Okay, we have William Send It 7 Piercing. All right, other than that, we used to call him Willie Pete. We used to call him the Mad Russian.
Bobby. I think you've had enough. Now you've had enough.
Bitch.
Wow.
How good is this?
Finish him!
Another one.
Everybody gets triggered. It's just that you become a pansy. That's in the Book of Brawl.
I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
You called down the thunder. Well, now you've got it.
You gotta be very careful.
What's up, sports fans? Are you looking for a job? Do you want to change in careers? Do you want to own your own business? I got the answer for you. This show is brought to you by FleetTex. FleetTex is partnering with veterans with mechanical or electronic experience. FleetTex specializes in on-site deployment of GPS tracking equipment and cameras for fleet vehicles across our nation. Check out what they do at www.fleettex.com. Apply today. Currently targeting veterans living in Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Tennessee. Local work and travel opportunities may be available in other areas. FleetTex proudly supports our military, its service members, our veterans, and their families. Enjoy the show.
This is the Veteran Trash Talk Sports Betting Show with your host, Trigger Joe. Send it 7 Pearson and the Big Girl. UFC, NFL, if it's on, we're betting on it.
What's up, Trash Talkers? What's going on, Gruntworks Nation? All right, we are back with your Friday night UFC and NFL pick'ems. All right, and we made some money last weekend. Okay, now, Trigger Joe, who is with us, and Bill, Send It 7, and Joe got a point back. All right. And Joe went perfect on the fight card.
Not to mention Chris Curtis by knockout, DraftKings sleeper. Thank you.
Yep. And not to mention Bill also, his locks all hit, especially in the prelims. And I bet all of those, and we should have won lots of money, but then there was the draw. All right. There was a draw.
Where split draw,
other,
too.
Yeah. Where it's the like other the weirdest fighter fucking said, call ever. No, 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 no. He won. So like you rarely see that, but it was a good act of sportsmanship. But anyways, I'm the big girl. All right, I'm your host for tonight. And like I said, with us tonight is Bill Send It Seven Pearson, still the champ. All right, and then you got VTT's Trigger Joe. All right, but most of my picks are sponsored by 10th Mountain Bourbon, and that's why mine are funny. Okay, but hey, so that's the disclaimer. Don't listen to my picks, all right, until we get to the NFL. Listen to these guys. And if you don't have money, disclaimer, all right, don't gamble. Don't do it, all right? Don't blame us for it. Not our fault, all right? Can't control yourself, can't control yourself. Don't gamble. But stick around to the end because these guys will give you a DraftKings sleeper if you play DraftKings, which, again, I will explain that because we haven't explained it in a while, is that DraftKings, you get a budget. You get like $8,000 to spend, right? And obviously the big favorites – that are going to win, they cost a lot of money. But they're going to give you a guy that's probably relatively cheap, that's probably not going to win, although Joe's picking guys that actually win. And they make you a lot of money on DraftKings. And then they're going to give you their locks and their parlays. So just remember, bet the locks, all right? Put more money on the locks than you do on the parlays, or just do it. All right? Trust me, you'll make money just like I do. And then those of you guys watching, feel free to comment, say hi, say where you're watching from, and go to our store anytime during the show and put in the code VTTGW, get a discount. That's shop.veterantrashtalk.com and or gruntworksclothing.com. All right, boys, how we doing?
Oh, fucking great. Absolutely great.
This is my favorite night of the week.
All right. You know, what's funny, and I'll do man speak, okay, comma, however. Yes, that Ankalaev draw was some bullshit, but Bill can't keep a straight face, and neither can any of us. If we're going to take the Patty win, we got to take our karma after, because Patty did not win this fucking fight, bro.
Fuck no, he didn't.
Patty got a robbery, man. We were texting, it's over, parlay killer, and then, holy shit!
I was sitting next to Tamara and I said, my parlay is fucked because Patty did not win this fight.
I think I had Patty in three parlays. You know, I was woo! Like, uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. There was a big Ric Flair woo from the
crowd. Yeah. Somebody made a call down to the ref saying, hey, we need Patty. He's marketable. He doesn't lose. You know,
it's all about it. You fuck VTT over enough.
Yeah. But all right. So, hey, let's get into it. Let's talk about this fight night. And they tried to mess with the big girl by putting a lot of names on here that I'm not going to be able to say. All right. And it starts off right at the beginning. And we got a middleweight fight. And you got Brundage at 8-2. All right. I think his first name's like Cody. Right. And then we already know what the big girl thinks about Cody's. And then we got this Ola Kazizhuk. All right. Whose first name is Michelle.
You did better than I thought you were going to.
Yeah, so it's Michelle, all right? And again, the big girl knows this. Big girl's been studying fights for about, I don't know, a year. And I'm just saying that nobody named Cody can fight, all right? And if you're named Cody, prove me wrong. I've never lost to you. Okay, so I'm going to go with Michelle, all right, by first round knockout because Cody's can't fight. All right, let's start with the champ. What say you?
Okay, I will start off by saying Joe and I first didn't want to be the first to go on the next fight, but I honestly didn't want to be the first to go on this fight either. Only because Joe will probably talk about it, so I won't steal too much time. The weigh-ins kind of threw me off a little bit. Originally, I was going with Oleg. I'm not going to try to say his whole name. I'm just going to say Oleg.
Oleg.
I'm still going to go with Oleg. He's still the latest favorite. I think minus 285 the last time I checked on DraftKings Sleeper. My only worry is this, is Oleg's been submitted before and Brundage has submitted people before. The reason why I'm going with Oleg, he has fought the better caliber people throughout his career. Brundage is still relatively new to the UFC. Oleg's been fighting anybody and whoever they'll put in front of him. And he's fought some mid to high level caliber guys and beat them. He's lost some fights, but he's lost to quality opponents. So I'm still going with Oleg. I think he's going to come in and be in Brundage's face. And I think Oleg has gone the distance with the better fighters more often. So if Cody wins this fight, he has to know he has to be willing to go to those deep waters that most of the newer guys aren't ready for quite yet. So I'm going to still go with Oleg. How he's going to win, man. I would be surprised with the decision. Both these guys are pretty big dudes. They both can take a punch. My only worry is that Oleg gets submitted by Brundage. I don't think that'll happen. But you know what? I'll go with a TKO Oleg, late second round.
There you have it, fight fans. And old Matty Seitz has just logged on and he's watching. If you're still watching Matty Seitz, how you doing, buddy? Haven't seen you in a while.
Matus?
Yeah, the family looks good. All right, on Facebook. That's the only way I follow you. But all right, Joe, what say you?
Yeah, this fight was originally supposed to be Oleg Zaychuk against Duraev, and Brundage had a fight with somebody else that fell out, and they threw this thing together last minute. Long story short, both guys had a camp. Oleg Zaychuk just knocked out Sam Alvey in the first round. His losses are to Dustin Jacoby, unanimous decision, and he got subbed by Jimmy Crew. He KO'd Gamzatov, KO'd Sam Alvey, and you know, maybe the play here is to go under, because if it goes to the ground, Oleg Zaychuk has been submitted by Jimmy Crew. Brundage did look really big at the weigh-ins, but Oleg Zaychuk fights with that. Where is this dude from? Poland. He's got that freaking bomb in his right hand, like Janitor Man Jan has. He can put your lights out. These are big boys. So maybe the play here is the under. These guys both walk around about 200 pounds. It's a 185-pound fight. So I got Oleg Zaychuk finding the mark and TKO and Brundage. I'm going to say second round. Brundage has been KO'd. He got KO'd by William Knight, which there's no shame in that because that guy's on the juice. And his muscles have muscles. But I got Oleg Zaychuk. His striking looked really, really good against Alvey and Crisp, and everything he was throwing with power on it found the mark. And I got him finding the mark against Brundage. KO second. So Bill and I got the same on that one. And a really tough fight.
Very nice. You know, and I know the As for Football guys don't watch the show very often, but I do want to bring this up. I know it's a little off topic, but you were killing those West Point ring knockers all year. All year. And then in
the next of the contest, because I didn't feel like it would be fair.
Right. And they didn't even invite you to the Army Navy show.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah. Hey, Colonel Rob, go fuck yourself. Right. Because that guy, that guy was the one making me all the money. All right. So, anyways, no, we love you guys.
No, with all due respect to the As for Football guys, we did have a death in the family that week, and I just hit him up and said, Hey, do your thing.
I think 10% truth, Joe.
Right. And they had fun with it and said they didn't invite me. But hey, I love you guys too. That's how veterans mourn.
Yeah. So all right, to the next one.
Oh,
all right, now again, these guys are going to act all emotional. That this is a hard fight to pick. When I'm going to break it down and explain why it's really easy. Okay, so Drew Dober was supposed to be our boy. All right, he hung out with Trigger Joe in Detroit. All right, had a beer with each other. You know, they shot the shit. You know,
Vegas.
Sorry. Then I tweeted Drew, and Drew responded. He's like, "Yeah, man, I'll come on the show." TikTok, Drew, where you been, man? All right, and so when I went on the Twitter today, all right, I noticed that Drew was making excuses. All right, Drew was saying that I had to fight, that I got no notice fight. Like, you know, I'm doing my best. And I'm sitting there like, okay, because Bobby fucking Green's on the other side of that fucking octagon. All right, you know, and Bobby cost us the most amount of money in probably the history of probably that we ever would have won. All right, ever. Okay, and he lost on a split
a couple decision. Times.
Yeah, and I got a backstory on this one. I can't wait to be called first.
Yeah, so Bobby Green,
that's true.
All right, it's gonna be a second round KO. All right, because Bobby Green is gonna be ready to fight, and Drew Dober is gonna be tweeting how he's not ready for round two. Right, and it's like, no, get up and fight, and he's gonna get knocked out. So I got Dober tweeting in between first and second round, and then Bobby Green knocking his ass out second one. So what do you say, Joe?
All right, so here's the deal. When I went to Vegas, not only did I get to sit and have a beer with Drew Dober, I also got to tell the story to the man himself on how he ruined an eight-fight parlay for us to Bobby fucking Green himself. Here's the catch, all right? There's a big catch there. Drew Dober, if you look at the pictures, wearing a burgundy suit, done up, got the Pomodoro combed over, looking slick. Not quite as good as Bill's, but he's got a strong jawline. I'll give the guy. Then we go down to Bobby Green's side. Bobby Green's like, I'll take that burgundy suit, and I'm going to neon D on that shit. Same burgundy suit. No shirt underneath. Gold chains from the 80s. I got to give it to the king, Bobby Green, and say that he wore the suit best. And they're going to get in there, and they're going to have a real cat fight over who wore the suit best because they're watching right now. I know they're watching. What's up, fellas?
Drew got tagged in this. Drew's watching.
But man, I saw the weigh-ins. Bobby Green has a serious chip on his shoulder. He took some supplement that gave him a inconclusive piss sample, and he got banned, and he swears it wasn't juice. And he doesn't look like he's juicing. But at the weigh-ins, he looked like Drew Dober stole his mom's rent money. And Dober was like laughing and smiling. He's also 3 inches or 2.5 inches shorter than Bobby Green. And Bobby looked pretty big. I think Bobby's going to throw the kitchen sink at him, man. And neither one of these guys, Bobby couldn't be finished by Fiziev. And he damn near beat Fiziev. And right now, Fiziev looks like the next title contender at his weight class. One of the next. So, man, I'm going to call my DraftKings sleeper and say, all right, dude, if you ruin this one, it's because I picked you to win. And say Bobby Green wins a very close decision in the fight of the night. Absolutely the fight of the night.
Nice, nice. But again, like I said, Drew's already said, hey, I ain't a short notice fight. Like he's already.
Bobby wants this one, man. Bad. Yeah. You can tell he wants to get back. He wants to shake that USADA Rust bullshit off him. He swears he wasn't cheating. And I believe him. He don't look like a guy that juices. He looks like a guy that works his ass off. And he really wants this one. And if Dober's already saying stuff like that in a fight this close talent wise, then you're joking or not, he does have a problem because Bobby Green ain't making excuses. He's looking to tear your head off.
Yeah. All right. The champ, what say you?
Joe actually said some of the comments I was going to say. I know you can't read my handwriting, but I actually have
Green because it's in the metric system.
Yeah. Say it again, Bill.
I actually have Green as my DraftKings sleeper.
Bring the bell. Now,
and we both text. No bullshit. We both text before the show and said, lean in Dobes, but it's Bobby fucking Green.
And here's why I went Bobby Green. I think this is probably one of the most evenly matched up fights on this card. Two things. Joe hit on both of them, actually. Bobby Green's coming in with a big chip on his shoulder and something to prove, and he is fucking pissed off. And two, Green has the far better fight resume than Drew Dober does. And if you look at who Bobby Green's lost, he was like Islam Makhachev and Rafael Fiziev. Guess what? Everybody's lost to those guys. So those aren't bad losses. And he took Fiziev to a very close decision.
I thought he ruined a parlay for me that night.
Yes. And he wobbled Fiziev, which does not happen.
Yep.
And he had Fiziev for a couple seconds there. He was the old baby deer on ice legs. So I think Bobby Green is going to pull this off in a long decision. I think Drew's going to look real strong for the first round and a half. Then he's going to realize Bobby Green he's just another one of those dudes with those endless gas tanks that'll just keep peppering you nonstop for every second of that round. And again, Joe hit on it. Bobby Green's coming with a big chip on his shoulder with something to prove from a bullshit piss test. So I got Bobby Green by decision in this one.
I've got parlay that I've got in right now is over 2.5. Okay. I think the play here is the distance. Neither one of the guys gets finished. I've seen them both take. Yeah. I mean, if Drew Dober could knock out Terrence McKinney while he's on one fucking leg doing the 1:45 a.m. eyeballs, Nick, you know what I'm talking about. He knocked him out while he was on wobbly legs. And Fizayev couldn't rock Bobby Green, I think both these guys are going to go the distance, and that is honestly my play here on FanDuel.
I like that. I like that. Okay, now here's where it starts to get really annoying for the big girl. All right, so when I start to study these fights, because I put a lot of work into it, all right, I think it was about 3.5 minutes today. All right, we got a featherweight fight, and that's only because I couldn't find a pen. All right, so we got Caceres at 19-13 versus Erosa, who's Julian. All right, Julian Erosa, 28-10. Now, everybody knows how I pick these featherweight fights. It always comes down to who can handle getting tickled the most, right? And so out of all the studying that I've done is that Julian is a better tickler than Caceres. So I'm going to go Julian submission tickling again, all right? Because that's the only way these little guys can fight. So Bill, the champ, who do you got in the tickle fight?
Tickling.
Yes.
Tickling. That's that.
Submission. I've used it before. But it's like, I mean, if you've ever had that big uncle that tickled you when you were a kid, you know, it's
I don't like to talk,
right? Like you tap. Like you will tap. Like I'm done. All right. Stop. Stop, Uncle Rodney. All right. So I actually meant tickling, but what do you got? What do you got? What do you got, Bill?
I got Erosa. Let me give that up front. I got Erosa by decision. I'm not a big fan of Caceres. Everybody was on his hype train early in his career. Mr. Bruce Leroy. He
catches bullets with his
He's got the power of the glow for all you old people. He had a good run on Ultimate Fighter. He had a good run when he first came to the UFC, but I think it was all mostly hype. He's coming off of a loss. Erosa is coming off a 3-fight win streak, one of those being Charles Jourdain, which is a great win to have. I mean, he submitted Jourdain. I think Erosa is just also, he's just the bigger dude. I think he's going to come in, he's going to bully old Bruce Leroy a little bit. I think the latest he was a -165 favorite. I think he should probably be a little more than that. Am I putting the parlay? Maybe. I'm still undecided on that one. But yeah, I got Erosa by decision on this one. I think Bruce Leroy is going to go for some some submissions. I don't think he's going to pull him off on someone like Erosa. I think Erosa is good enough to not get caught. And Caceres always pulls off a rear naked choke on these rookies coming into the league. He's never really pulled off anything crazy on people who I consider of substantial status.
Quality fighters.
So I'm going with Erosa by decision on this one.
Nice. Who's badder than Shogun? Bruce Leroy, that's who. All right.
Show enough.
So the Shogun of Harlem. All right, Joe, who you got?
Show enough is actually the most intimidating. And
I mean, who else walks around in shoulder pads, right? With an arm? Like, yeah. I mean.
But yeah, all seriousness, I got Erosa here. And boys, I did a deep dive on this one and I got a little inside intel for you. Alex Caceres is a vegan.
Oh, God.
He's vegan.
To run out of energy.
Yeah, I got Erosa. You going to ask me another question? If so,
nothing against vegans except for everything. Okay. All right. So, yeah.
Listen. But having said that, both these guys are 4-1 in their last 5 in the UFC. Problem is, Erosa's got the better wins. The Hakeem Dawodu win aged very well, and that was actually a fight where Erosa was the underdog in that one. But the Steve Peterson fight actually showed me a lot about what Erosa still got left in the tank. He's 33 years old. He was screaming at the guy, "Come on!" in the third round, like they were in blood sport. He still takes the shit very seriously. Feels like he can give anybody a fight on any night, and I think it's fun for Alex Caceres. I really do. I think this is the last paycheck before Christmas. And that's no bullshit. There's a lot of guys on this card that are fighting to get one more check before the end of the year.
That's good, because I was going to call bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. a lot of guys were on the prelims. But, the Charles Jourdain sub was great. KO over Nate Landwehr. Julian Erosa has just looked better. And he's got a little more gas in his, you know, in his offense. And Alex Caceres, you know, everything was supposed to be pretty and technique and that. Julian Rosa wants to brawl. And I got him winning the fight. I'm putting him in my parlay. Probably going to go the distance, but I'm definitely taking Julian Rosa money line and going to throw him in a couple of parlays. I'm pretty confident that he doesn't lose to Alex Caceres.
There you have it. There you have it. Now, this is why I said I started to get annoyed, because now we go to a flyweight. A flyweight fight, right? And you got Elbazi at 15-1 and Costa at 11-2. And you know what? I didn't realize that there was a female fight on this card. All right? It looks like we have one. Nope, because these aren't men. All right? Men don't weigh 120 pounds. All right? Boys do. So I'm not even picking this one, Joe. This is a waste of my time. All right? What do you got on this first female fight of the night?
Well, you know, Costa, I see this real pretty green and yellow flag next to his face. He's tan, got all these tattoos, and he's from blonde hair. Elbazi's from Samarra, Iraq.
Is he really?
Well, I don't know about Samarra. I'm going to say he was born on 20th and Lakers, but he is Iraq.
I was going to say that makes sense why he's not big, because there's no food there.
And he has been tearing through the flyweight division. Lock this one up. I got Elbazi. I'm not going to call a finish, but if you're going to call a finish and get cute, call him by sub. He's a submission wizard. Looks like a psychopath in the weigh-in stare down, and even his ESPN picture, I think he's trying to give the Manson lamps to the camera guy. But I got Elbazi. He's one of my locks. Take him by decision. He's a huge favorite, so he'll be expensive, but throw him in a parlay. Costa's good, but he's not ready for this level. Elbazi's top 10 in the world right now. And this is Costa's UFC debut. So
nice.
I got Elbazi pretty confidently winning, possibly sub third round, but I'll take him by decision and say this Costa kid actually gains points by going the distance. That's how hype they are on Elbazi right now.
Oh, awesome. All right, champ, what say you on the first one this Friday night?
I'm with Joe on this one. It's Elbazi. Actually, Joe, he's from Baghdad.
You're from Baghdad.
I've spent some time there, but I'm not from there. But yeah, he's from Baghdad. I think he fights out of
you're from Baghdad. Same,
for sure. I think he fights out of that Bisping camp in London. But listen, Elbazi is also one of my locks. Elbazi is going to rip through Costa, I think, relatively quick. I don't see it going the distance. I think Elbazi submits this dude. And I love seeing people submit these Brazilian guys. Joe and I are on the same page on that one. Elbazi is a bad dude. I think he's going to be a real problem about 3-4 years from now. So I got Elbazi by sub, late first, early second. It could go the distance, but either way, Elbazi is a lock. Last I checked, I think it was like a minus like 3-something.
450.
It was something crazy. Yeah, minus 450. Yep. Elbazi is going to wreck Costa for sure. I have it by sub. It could go distance, but I don't see it going to distance. Elbazi, lock it in. Submission, late first, early second.
Nice, nice. Okay, lock it in, he said. Now we get back to what fighters should look like. And we got a lightweight fight.
Good luck with these names.
All right, yeah. I thought this guy was a dead basketball coach. All right, Coach Sarukian, right? Sarukian at 18-3, right? Isn't that who's the guy who used to bite the tile? I'm about to bite the tile.
Arcanian?
Yeah, same
thing. Shark. Right? Jerry the Shark, running rebels.
And then you got Izlogov, all right, at 24-1.
That was fucking better than I thought you could.
All you got to do for those guys.
Absolutely.
All you got to do for those guys is just cough, right? And then it comes out how you're supposed to do. All right, but that everybody knows that understands UFC. Like the big girl does, is that anybody who has names like this, okay, they grew up eating porridge, all right? So they fight for food, okay? They fight for their actual lives. And I'm just going to say, when I was looking at them, you know, Demir looks like he's a little more malnourished than the other guy, right? So I'm going to go Demir with a liver shot. Why? Because he's going to eat his liver when he's done. That's what's going to happen. So, Bill, what say you?
So this is another fight on this card that I think is a very, very evenly matched fight. I don't know what Joe's doing. I am leaving this off.
Does anybody really know what Joe's doing?
That's fair. That's fair.
And Joe doesn't even know what he's doing. I don't.
But I will not be touching this on a squirrel. Parlay because this could go either way. For sake of the show, I got I'm nicking this guy's name up. Sarkurian or whatever
Sarkurian.
The fuck you call it. Sarukian.
The T is silent.
too many Conas. Sarukian, latest I checked, he was a -195 on DraftKings. I don't see this fight being finished early. I got to go into decision. This fight really could go either way. Both these guys are really good. Not big reach advantages, evenly weighted, evenly heighted. I mean, it's a great fight to watch. Not a great fight to bet. But I got Sarukian decision. I'm not touching it in a parlay.
Nice. So you remember that third grade spelling bee? No, you didn't. Rock. R-O-K.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't, was they think that was written when that line, I think it was written where he's supposed to go, yeah, like, what's your point?
I don't know, but the part because where that's the old man, where he bites the old man's arm at the table, that's my fucking,
yeah,
my room. I know that one.
Yeah, R-O-C-K. Oh, see, it's silent. All right,
actually,
Joe.
Dan, I got the shirt from Frank, but
Frank.
That, are you some damn moron or something?
What's wrong?
All right, let's stop this. Let's stop this now.
I can watch Billy Madison anytime.
You know, you know what's nuts about this is Ismagulov is 24-1. And after watching the Gamrot Sarukian fight, which was a fucking war, underrated war, Sarukian possibly won that fight, man. Bill and I both had Sarukian.
Yeah.
Gamrot didn't do anything to lose. The third round was the debate. Gamrot had 1-2. Sarukian had 4-5. The reason why I'm going Sarukian, and I am, is because, first of all, he's 26 years old. He didn't do anything to lose against Matush Gamrot, who has looked like
great fight.
World beater. But Matush Gamrot was 21-1, or is 20-1 now. So, you know, there's no reason why. Do I think Ismagulov is better than Gamrot? No. Do I think it was a coin flip with Sarukian and Gamrot? Yeah. And I think Gamrot, I think Sarukian really, really wants to get a dub bad. And, man, what a tough stretch to go Gamrot, Ismagulov back to back. But he's 26. He's young enough, injury-free, world-class wrestler. And I see his wrestling getting the trick done. And him and Ismagulov going the distance. Really good fight, but Sarukian winning 2-1 and probably dominating the third if he does get the win. But Ismagulov's going to give him a fight. But I'm taking the distance as any play that I'm going to take in this fight because Ismagulov's got 5 decisions in a row, and Sarukian will go to a decision with a guy that doesn't want to finish. The Russell. So, nice. I'm going to go ahead and take Sarukian, but the over 2.5, and this is probably the best play in my book.
All right, perfect. So, hey, let me do a quick shout-out to the guys that are commenting. So, we got our typical regulars like Mickey, all right, Severson, and then Cody Kraft, and then we got Javier Portillo. I think that's your boy, right? You know Javier Portillo? I thought
I'd like to know him.
Yeah, so hey, you guys email Big Earl, all right, Big Earl at veterantrashtalk.com, and I'll get you guys a bigger discount on shirts because thanks for watching and commenting all the time. Definitely going to hook you up with something. All right, let's go to the main event. And we got Cannoneer. Remember when we named a kid for Shaner?
Yeah, Cannoneer.
That was awesome. You know, that only happens in the Army where you're sitting outside smoking cigarettes. This is like E4s and E5s. And like he's like, oh, my wife's pregnant. I think it's a boy. What should I name it? And we're like, Cannon. And they're like, well, he's a cannon. I'm like, yeah, think about it. Like if he's an athlete and, you know, whether he's a football player or a pitcher, baseball player, and in the newspaper it says Cannon, right? Scouts are going to come to the game because
his name's Cannon.
Why are they calling this guy Cannon? So what is Shaner going to do? Name this kid Cannon. that's how it happens in the Army, okay? So sorry, we got – yeah, sorry, buddy. Unless you're a superstar athlete, then you're welcome. All right, so you got Cannoneer, who's 15-6 versus Strickland at 25-4, right? I am just going to go with the old man, all right? The old man resurgence, not a doubt, going to happen. I'm going to go first-round KO. All right, Joe, what say you?
Yeah, five rounds. I do not see Strickland. I do not see Strickland is very basic. He's got the best way I can describe his stance is you ever seen a Guinness commercial? Brilliant! That's, you know, why he ran into the left hook of Alex Pereira. Because, I mean, Alex Pereira was having fun. Like, hey, man, next time you come to this spot, my left hook's going to be waiting for you. And start the car. And that's what happened. Strickland's very basic, man. He stands in front of you. If you look at Cannoneer's last two losses, he took Robert Whittaker to a very close decision, and he didn't look bad against Israel Adesanya, the champ. So I'd say Cannoneer.
Who normally makes people look stupid.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And the significant strikes against Izzy looked pretty good. If he can touch Izzy up 100 times, which he did, I say he catches Strickland with enough to wobble him because he did wobble Robert Whittaker. Whittaker wobbled him back. That was a great fight. That was against Gaethje Khabib, the co-main event. But Cannoneer needs this fight. He needs to keep winning. I mean, 2 years ago, he won and said, hey, I had to win this fight. I'm broke. It was 2 years ago. He's 38. He's not going to let Sean Strickland beat him. I just don't believe it. I don't see Strickland out-toughing him. I don't see him going five rounds with Cannoneer. I think Cannoneer finds a knockout blow in about the third and puts Strickland's lights out again for the second straight UFC. I think he was a co-main with Pereira that night. But second straight knockout loss for Strickland. I see Cannoneer third round knockout.
Very nice. Very nice. The champ. What say you?
This is super easy for me. The odds I'd last checked were like 110, minus 110 to minus 115. Why the odds are so close, I will never figure out.
It's a fucking pick 'em.
Listen, lock it in right now. Cannoneer is going to beat the shit out of Strickland. There is no doubt in my mind. Strickland goes to sleep in this fight. It baffles me that the odds are so close. But hey, I love it. It's helping my parlays out. It's helping my betting out.
Willie Mays Hayes. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Guys, for everybody watching, I'm telling you, this is if I have ever had a lock, this is my strong lock. Cannoneer is beating the shit out of Rod Strickland tomorrow night. Without a doubt in my mind. This is about as serious I am about my Valentina fights. Cannoneer is beating Michelle Strickland. He leaves, like Joe said, his stance is stupid when he fights a striker. I'll tell you right now, he's going to go to sleep from a left hook to the jaw. Without a doubt in my mind, Strickland's going to sleep from a left. I don't know why the odds are so close. I love it as a better because there's absolutely no way Strickland wins this fight.
Now, you got some Native American casinos by you in Washington. Why don't you go to the sports book and ask what a left hook finish would pay out?
I'll head to Emerald Queen tomorrow.
Yeah. Somebody's going to give you action on that.
Yeah. So, careful at those smaller casinos. They may say, negative, sir. It was a left cross. Get out.
Yeah, that's true. But hey, I got Strickland. I'm Strickland getting KO'd. I wouldn't be surprised if it was the first, maybe second round, but Cannoneer is coming in to knock his block off, and he's going to do it. Cannoneer, KO, late first.
All right, very nice. Okay, let's get into the meat and potatoes. Let's get to where I make money, and this is when I do this. All right, you see this? All right, grab this pen. I know there's only like three or four of you watching right now, but more of you will watch it later. All right, like, grab this, write it down. Bill, locks, parlays. DraftKings sleeper, which we already think we know what that is.
You know what? I'm building a parlay for you right now. Let me. Oof. Okay. Locks. Cannonier, obviously, and Elbazi, the Iraqi, he's going to roll through that fight, as well as Manuel Cape on the prelims, a guy fighting another African fighter who's going to come in. And he's probably going to, you'd be safe probably picking the under on that fight as well if you wanted. So I'm giving you three locks. Cannonier, Elbazi, and Cape. DraftKings sleeper is Bobby Green. There's another guy in the prelims too. I think he's a great DraftKings sleeper. His name's Brian Battle.
Yeah, buddy.
I think Battle is going to win. He's a great fighter. Another guy that was discovered on Ultimate Fighter. Great guy, ground guy. His striking is getting phenomenally better. Brian Battle is also an underdog in his fight. Take him. For parlays, I'll give you two. First one would be Cannonier, Elbazi, Erosa. Take the over on the Green fight. Another prelim guy, Morozov, phenomenal guy. He's going to win his fight. Again, Cape, and then Matthews over Semmelsberger. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's a 7-fight parlay. Take that one. If you do that one right now on my bookie, you put $10 on it, you'll get 123. If you take that parlay I just gave you and you add Brian Battle to it, that's an 8-fight parlay. Throw $10 at it. That'll get you 292 and 30.
Keep in mind, I went 9 for 9 last week, and Bill hit all of his locks. So when he says 8-fight parlay, and you think 8-fight parlay, that's crazy. No, it isn't.
No, we've hit 2 out of the last 3 weekends.
Yeah.
And I'll even balls you. If you want to go for a niner, which I might do, don't be afraid to throw Rafa Garcia in there as well. That fight, I'm a little iffy on, but if you feel ballsy, you want to throw $5 on a niner, throw Robert Garcia in there. But I'm confident on that 7-fight parlay I gave you. Cannonier, Elbazi, Rosa, the over on Green, Morozov, Cave, Matthews. Then if you want to get ballsy in there, do an eighter, throw in Brian Battle.
Nice, nice. There you have it. All right, Joe, give us your locks, your parlay, and your DraftKings sleeper.
Yeah, my locks are starting in reverse order from the prelims up. Manel Cap over David Dvorak, lock number one. Jake Matthews over Matt Semmelsberger is lock number two after what he did to Andre Fiallo. Semmelsberger likes to be very aggressive. You're not a free safety at Marist University anymore, Semmelsberger. Jake Matthews has hands.
And sorry to cut you off, Joe, but Semmelsberger is also.
Are you really, though? Really,
yeah. Dickhead. And Semmelsberger is coming off of a brutal loss to Morono. Morono blighted him up not too long ago. So.
Yeah. And Amir Elbazi is my third lock.
Yeah.
This Costa kid, it's his debut. They're feeding him. He's meat. Here's my parlay. Starting first fight, Sergey Morozov over Jurny Newsom. Then Manel Cap over David Dvorak. Jake Matthews over Matt Semmelsberger. So there's three on the prelims. Then I'm going to go ahead and play the over in the Bobby Green, Drew Dober fight. There's four. Julian Erosa over Alex Caceres. Amir Elbazi over Costa. And then Jared Cannonier. I believe that's 7, but it's almost the exact same names that Bill said.
It's so, the exact same 7-fight parlay.
Yeah. So there you go. When that happens, it is something freaky.
You want a rose? Oh yeah, a rose on there too. Shit. Yeah, it's the exact same.
Something freaky has to happen for that to be wrong.
That's why I take notes, motherfuckers. All right. So eight. Again. Put the money on the locks to secure it so that in the same 7-fight parlay, when like one of these guys decides to shit the bed and or, you know, a ruling doesn't go your way, you make some money, all right? But this is a solid lock, guys. This is solid betting. All right. There you have it, Fight Fans. We're going to take a little break. Now, during the break, all right, for about a minute and a half, there's going to be a screen that pops up, okay? And it's going to have QR codes on it. All right, those are people that support our mission in curbing the veteran suicide rate. And the NR2F Warrior, those guys, they have a freaking hangover pill that's phenomenal.
What's up, MH?
It's So yeah, so go get that hangover pill for like for reals. All right. And then they also have a life support, they call it life support, Voxio or something like that. That is something you take pre-workout, all natural, great stuff. All right. So go check them out. So hit that QR code and we'll be back in about a minute and a half for the Big Earls NFL Locks. And we're back for the Big Earls NFL Locks. I hope you guys clicked on those QR codes because they are great partners of ours. And now, real quick, we're going to get through the NFL real quick because we don't really need to explain a lot of shit. The only thing I'm really excited about is I need another game to happen because all the morning talk shows talk about is the damn Dallas Cowboys right now. I'm like, can we please just get over that shit? All right. But I did need to go over my picks last week. I had four locks last week. I said the Bengals at 5.5, right? Which that line went down to 3 by the time the game started. All right. I had the Steelers at -2, the Niners at -3.5, and the Hawks at 3.5. All right. I hit 2 of the 4. Okay. And one of them, the starting quarterback in one game, got knocked out in the first drive, and the backup threw three red zone interceptions. All right. So those three field goals, they cover, all right? And then the Seattle Seahawks are on the
oh, what have they done? Yeah, right?
And then again, Geno threw 2 red zone interceptions in that game. And it was like, that's 5 red zone interceptions in 2 of my locks.
They ruined a 7-5.
They ruined I want to know. I'm whining, Joe. I want to know. I go, if you ever lock 2 games, just anytime, what are the odds that in those 2 games that you lock, there's 5 red zone interceptions on the teams that you bet on? Like, holy shit. Okay, but that is the NFL. And before we get into these picks that we're going to go through real quick, I just want to say, the goddamn Detroit Lions are looking pretty fucking good. All right. And that's
biting kneecaps in Detroit.
All right. That's one thing. All right. And the second thing is I am 2 games up in my Pick'em League, which is a $300 payout. All right. There's only 4 of us playing. 2 of them watch this show. All right. So all I'm saying, Dan and Justin, I go, how the hell am I beating you when you can literally watch the show and see who I'm picking? and I know you watch it. That's how bad you are. You got it? You're suspect. All right.
Yeah, that's, don't believe us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. That's fine. That's fine, Dan. Don't believe this. We got Indy going into Minnesota. Minnesota's -3 with a 47.5 over under. Boy, they got to be stinging from that ass whooping that Detroit just laid on them, because they got thunder stomped.
Thunder stomped. Now, there were some suspect plays in that game. I'll give them that. There was some, you know, when you got the head coach saying that he was chewing bubblegum, not even watching, when somebody said, hey, we're going to run this play, and I just said, okay, and then they throw it to the tackle, right? So, hey, I love it. But I'm actually going to go the Vikings here with a lock.
These are the beautiful times of Christmas, and these are Saturday games. So let me
Saturday games. So I got a three Saturday parlay for it.
Yeah. All right. At 4:30 on Saturday, we got Baltimore, who, what the f*** is going on with Baltimore, going up against the team they used to be in the Cleveland Browns.
Right, and this is what's sad. You know, I also like the under in that
Colts Cleveland Vikings. Cleveland is a -3 favorite with a 39 over-under.
Yeah, I also like the under in that Colts-Vikings game. I like the under a lot in that game. 47.5 is a lot of freaking points.
Especially for the Colts. Yeah.
Yeah. Ravens and Browns. The Ravens squeaked out a win against the Steelers. All right. They both suck. All right. The Browns, I think, are going to actually win by at least a touchdown. So I got Browns here -3 easy.
Fantastic. We got Miami going into Buffalo. This should be some good football, but Buffalo is a -7 favorite with a 43.5 over-under.
Right. And again, what's wrong with the Dolphins, man? I don't get it. I think the film is out. And this happens when you have burners like this, the guys that are just faster than you. The smart coaches in the boxes, they start to figure out how to slow you down. Right? They're just little things. And I think the film is out on the Dolphins. And so the Dolphins.
Garbage, maybe?
Something. I don't know. But like the Dolphins just, like, they, nobody can stop them. Nobody. Now all of a sudden they're having trouble. So I think the secret's out of them. And I like the Bills here, -7. So for the Saturday parlay, take all three home teams with the spread just for fun. Throw $5 on it. Pays like
that. Tyreek Hill wishes he could play against Jim Knowles. If he was in a Bond movie, his name would be Agent Cover Zero. He's the defensive coordinator for Ohio State. Michigan just threw another touchdown. Anyways, we got Atlanta going into New Orleans. New Orleans is a -4 favorite with a 43.5 over-under.
All right, this is easy. This is my second lock of the week.
That's the first Sunday game at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, I got the Saints here big. All right, Saints are gonna mess these guys up.
All right, we got Dallas rolling into Jacksonville at 1 o'clock. Jacksonville is only getting 4 points, and there's a 48 over under, no hook.
Yeah, I like the over here actually, which is weird for NFL. But I do. I also like the Cowboys as a lock. So this is the only thing that I'm going to get into. You know, my wife's watching, so she'll get pissed because we got to go to a holiday party. But I'm going to get into this one. People are on all the talk shows, ESPN over there. How could the Lions only beat the Texans by so close? Let me tell you something. 1996, Green Bay Packers win the Super Bowl. All right. The Indianapolis Colts were 1-15 that year. Guess who the Colts beat that year?
Packers.
The Packers. All right. And then my wife, that's why I brought her up, actually brought this up. She goes, yeah, I was reading something about how Tom Brady's worst losses in his career by points, all of those years he won the Super Bowl.
Bang, bang. Right?
And it was like, stop thinking that because these NFL players can't have a great game, or that another team overlooks another team. All right, the Cowboys now are motivated and are going to absolutely blow out Jacksonville. Blow out.
Totally agree. This is going to be a great game here. We got my Detroit Lions going in to play the New York Jets. Lions are actually 1.5-point road favorites.
When is the last
33 and a half over under?
The Lions were a road favorite. All right. Love it.
Or a favorite against a team 10-1 or 10-2 like last week.
Right. So
Vegas knew something.
Yeah, Zach Wilson's coming back. He just got announced as the starter, which actually I think is in the Lions' favor. Anyone else, I think that the Lions have trouble in New York, but Zach Wilson's not a game manager. If a game manager was playing, I think the Jets would win this game pretty easily. But Zach Wilson's going to be rocking this ball, and that's exactly what the Lions want. If this is a shootout, Lions win.
All right, we got the please I quit game of the week with Kansas City going into Houston. Houston is 14-point home dogs, shocker, with a 49 and a hook over under.
Lock it up. Lock it up. Chiefs cover 14. I think the Chiefs will win this game 30-something to 10.
Yeah, we got Philly going into Chicago. Chicago's 9-point home favorites with a 48.5 over under.
All right. Well, yeah, I obviously going Eagles here, but watch out for the Bears. Watch out for the Bears to cover here. But I mean, the Eagles should destroy them, but the Bears just do shit at Soldier Field. It's stupid. So, yeah.
The Bears do have, now that Lamar's down, they do have the only quarterback that can put a 90-yard bomb on you on his feet.
Right. They only have the only backyard quarterback left.
Touche. Pittsburgh going into Carolina. Carolina is 3-point home favorites with 37.5 over under.
Yeah, the Steelers just ruled out a Pickett, so they don't even know who they're going to start. I got to go Panthers here.
Yeah. We got Arizona going into Denver. Denver is a 1.5-point favorite with a 36.5 over-under.
All right, that line opened up at -3, and Russell Wilson is not playing. So you got Ripon, Mark Ripon's kid, versus the other backup, Colt McCoy. I'm going to go with the Cards here in the first upset. That's the upset of the week.
Well, Colt McCoy pretty much started last week and didn't do bad.
Right.
We got New England going into Las Vegas. Vegas is a 1-point favorite with a 44.5 over under.
So here's where the problem is. Jacob's got a broken finger, right? But he said he's going to play. Not sure if the Pats have anything left in them. Now, the Pats are fighting for their playoff life, but they're in a division where they're in fourth place with a winning record. Like, so it's like,
yikes.
I'm going to go with the Raiders here. I'm going to go with them, but I'm not going to bet it.
All right, we got Cincy going into Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's 3.5-point home dogs with a 45 over-under.
I love this game. I love this game for two reasons. Take the over, take the Bengals, right? Like, there is going to be so many points scored in this game. It's going to be dumb, all right? And I guarantee – I'm going to say this. Play a parlay where if you can do – not a parlay, but a prop bet where it's either one or two defensive touchdowns by the Bengals, right? Yeah. Like, there is no way. There is no way Tampa Bay keeps Tom Brady on the street. They shouldn't even play him.
Yeah, no, I hear you. We got Tennessee going in to play the Chargers. Chargers, 3-point favorites at home with a 46.5 over-under.
Yeah, I like the Chargers here. I like the way they looked. I think that they're starting to gel a little bit too late, but they are gelling. So I like the Chargers here.
All right, nighttime game. We got the Giants going in to play the Commanders in Washington. Washington are 5-point favorites with a 40.5 over under.
Yeah, this game ended in a tie last time. And as a Packer fan, I would like it to end in a tie again. That would be great. So, because the Packers still have a 13% chance of making the playoffs. But I got the Commanders here winning this game. The Giants haven't won a game in a month. So, I don't know if they're going to cover 5. I think that's a pretty ridiculous spread. I'm not going to touch it, but I think the Commanders win this.
Yeah, the Lions came into New York and snatched their soul out. And mm-hmm. So this is what Midwest men should look like. We got the Rams on Monday Night Football going in to the frozen tundra Lambeau Field. Green Bay is 7-point favorites at home, 39.5 over under. Nick, what do you got?
I love this game for the fact that when your parlay's set up and they hit on Saturday and Sunday and you make Green Bay as a money line favorite and then you bet the Rams to cover the 7. I just see something stupid happening, like 6 or 7 drop passes where the Packers should have won by 3 scores, but they
went 24-20.
Yes, exactly. But this should have been a 20-point win. It is what it is, but that's what we have. I got the Packers here, and obviously because the Rams are just disastrous, even though Baker Mayfield, what a game he'd had. Cost me a lot of money, Baker. You cost me money. But hey, I love Baker. You know, I got a man crush on Baker. So I love it. But you're gonna lose. You've always played bad in Lambeau. You're gonna play bad in Lambeau again. You're gonna lose. But hey, Fight fans, NFL fans, there you have it. We hope that you have a merry, merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy Kwanzaa. I don't give a shit, whatever you call it. Just have a good freaking time. Joe, give us the last word.
Oh, freaking.
Put you on a spot.
I say Merry Christmas in my house. So, hey, just remember, we always give the final word to Gold Star Teen Adventures.
We do.
Remember the children of the fallen. Remember that there's kids out there that Christmas, all they really wish is that they were in a intact family and they didn't ask to be here. So don't forget Gold Star Teen Adventures. I donate to them every birthday. Remember those kids and think about donating this Christmas to a good cause.
Love you guys. See you tomorrow. Trash Talk Hour. We got a female veteran entrepreneur that is a Sigma 6, whatever the hell they call it. She's going to be on the show and we're going to blast it. See you guys tomorrow, 1700 Eastern.